Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see each and every one of you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the blessing of being in your house. Father, it's a blessing for me as a pastor. I remember, Father, and I think of Richard Blackaby, who said that blessing for any pastor to be able to preach about Jesus every time. And so I praise you for that. I thank you, Father, that as we're here today in your name, that we will meet with you. We pray that your presence and your spirit will be prevalent. Father, it has been such a blessing to hear different individuals in our church comment to me how they sense the Spirit of God. And Father, I wouldn't want to go to church if I did not sense your presence. So Father, I pray you will just continue to do that as each of our hearts come with hearts that are right, hearts that are focused on you, that we can hear and we can receive everything that you have for us. Now, carry this message, bless it to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The weekend before Mother's Day, we had done our continued study in Genesis, preaching through Genesis on Joseph and the dreams that he had. And so we might be able to call this message Where Dreams Can Lead Part 2, but I'd rather call it The Canvas Your Paint. And so we're going to look at this in a little bit here. But Joseph had two dreams. The dreams were far beyond his reach. They were far beyond his expectation, and they were far beyond his comprehension, and they were far beyond his understanding on how such a thing could develop. And yet God gave him these two dreams that he was to hold on to, that God would explain, God would unfold before him, and that God would accomplish with him. Now, God being all-knowing, he knows who is going to be faithful to him and who's not. And I believe that Scripture tells us that we have a call to walk in the path that he has us to walk. But we also have the free will not to. And so as Joseph went through the course of his life, he went through all the trials, all the challenges, all the hardships, keeping his faith on the Word of God, knowing that God had that plan, that purpose. But I think even more deeply than that, his love for God stayed true. And so we need to just trust God. Right? We need to trust God. We need to remain faithful to him in whatever comes our way. How many Christians do we know that might fall away from following God because they're just flat out mad at God and they want to walk away? But we have a responsibility to just yield to God and what he allows in our lives, love him first. And I really believe that as we have that deep, loving relationship with God, that that's what carries us through the challenge and the difficulties and the hardship of our lives. So Joseph's great promises, these great dreams that God had revealed to him were indeed a great promise, were they not? He pictured his family. He pictured people bowing down before him and all, before his authority. And when he's just a shepherd, right, he's out there. And so you have the people bowing down before him. God had a great purpose. He had a great promise for Joseph. Joseph was a typology of Jesus in so many different ways. I mentioned to you before that there's probably 100 or more different correlations to Joseph and his story and his life that reflect on the relationship of Jesus in our lives and who he is. But Joseph, in a sense here, was a savior to his family, to the people of Israel, right? He was a hero because God had used him to be in a position of authority where ultimately, and God didn't tell him this, that you have the authority to give food to your family, sustain your family, along with many, many other people. And through all of this, God had truly blessed him. And so, remember when he was standing there before his brothers, and the brothers were afraid, oh, now we realize you're Joseph, but you're going to hate us, you're going to have us killed with all your authority. And Joseph said, don't have any fear, I'm okay with this, because it was all God's plan. We have to be willing to yield to God's plan, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's hurtful, painful, challenging, distressing, lonely, whatever that situation might be, because God is working in us to change us and to transform us in the image of his son. But in a very neat and unique way, as God did not tell him, look, you're going to be feeding your family and sustaining them. And from that, from those 70 people that are brought into Egypt, a great nation is going to surface that would be called my people. God didn't tell him that. So I think that God has these things for us, that as we follow him, he may give us direction. direction, but we really don't know the implications of what God wants to accomplish in and through our lives for Him. Every one of us is meant to lead a life of significance. And we have to understand what the world evaluates as significance is not the same as what God views as significant. It's based upon our faithfulness to God. And God wants to use us as blessings to others. Joseph was a blessing. We are called to be a blessing. You know, Scripture says we're called into good works. We're called to love one another. We're called to serve one another. We're called to do all these things in the name of the Lord and so much more. And so looking at the insert here, each person Joseph came in contact with had the opportunity to learn the truth, be helped, be protected, or be blessed. And so the people we come in contact with should receive those same things from us as well. We should uphold the truth. We shall help what we can. We can protect those that can't protect themselves, intervene for them, right? And we can be used as a blessing on their lives. But it's contingent upon our relationship with God, our faithfulness to Him, and allowing Him to work in and through us in ways that touch not just our own life, but others' lives. I mean, Joseph was used to touch lives of those when he was in prison, right? And interpreting dreams there. He was used to touch the life of Potiphar. He was used to bear witness that he can be a man of integrity and resist Potiphar's wife when she wanted him. He learned what it meant to be humble as a servant with great authority because God had humbled him, because initially Joseph was not very humble. He was pretty arrogant as he boasted about who he was, as he rubbed it in his brothers' faces, and so forth. Joseph knew that he had a better future. You and I know that we have a better future in Christ. But it doesn't have to be eternal, although that's the greatest future we have. But the future that we have from this day forward can be greater and better than what we've had in the past based upon how we follow God. Joseph trusted God's promise, and he faithfully endured the hard times. What type of witness is that to us in our own church family? When we see our church family members going through tremendous, constant barrage of trial and hardship and heartache and all this stuff, and yet their faith remains solid. Is it not a testimony to each one of us? Does not God use it for His glory? Does it not reflect their faith in depending upon God as their personal Lord and Savior? I have an illustration here. When you start out a picture like this, you start out with a base color, like black. I use a lot of black for shadowing. And you may use other colors, but the idea is that you start with the background, the clouds, and then you build a base, and then you build on top of that, on top of that, on top of that, on top of that, until you get it to where you want. When we're born, God gives us a basic picture of our life. The way we see our life, when we become more cognitive to that, we start evaluating our life. And then we have a choice as we follow God, that God can develop our life into what He wants it to be. When Joseph went to Egypt, what happened? He was totally blessed beyond his imagination, was he not? Because God developed his life His way. And so his life became, in essence, a beautiful picture of the power of God, whereas he couldn't do that. We need to remember that God is still working in our lives. And in working in our lives, we can trust Him. And He'll continue to build on us the things that He wants to do, okay, with our lives. We just continue to watch, and when God is done, our life should bring honor and glory to Him. And so we are not to limit ourselves by what's going on in our lives and what God wants to do with our lives. In other words, Joseph did not limit the potential of his life as he followed God because he yielded to God. To limit what God wants to do with us is to say no, or is to rebel, or is to fall back in our own self-pity, whatever it might be. And in that, we quench the working of the Spirit. We quench the power of God working freely through our lives because, one, we don't want to hear it. And if we do hear it, we don't want to receive it and apply it. And so what happens, it inhibits us or limits us from God developing us the way He wants to develop us. Even though He's all-knowing God, even though He knows all this, God has a plan and purpose for us before the foundations of the world. But He gave us free choice, free will to follow him or not. And so the circumstances that Joseph faced did not discourage him, amazingly, sold by his brothers, put into prison, accused as far as being a rapist, all these different things. He did not get discouraged to the point that it overwhelmed him. But instead, he remained faithful and he did not give up. Erwin McManus, pastor of Mosaic Church in Los Angeles, said, "What you expect from yourself in your life has a direct effect on what you will get out of life. How you imagine yourself and your future has a huge effect on what actually happens." This is not taken as a quote from Positive Thinking years ago. Okay, it's not about positive thinking. It's about knowing what God's will is in your life and being faithful to it. It's positive thinking in the respect that I know what God has said, and I'm going to follow what he wants to do. We all are very well familiar with John 10:10. You hear it out of the pulpit here often. "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Remember, don't read over that. Don't gloss over that quickly, because Satan wants to steal the things that God wants to do in our life or is doing in our life. He wants to kill all the good that he's done, all the work that he's done, all the life that we have in Christ in the sense of that joy in him. He wants to destroy. And so we have to remember, like Joseph, that God has a plan and a future. God has a plan for us. A future and a hope. Absolutely. A plan, a future, and a hope. You know, I've mentioned this story beforehand, but I'll share it to you with you real quickly out of the CSBC, California Southern Baptist Convention newspaper. Years ago, I read this article about this older woman. When she was young and single, she said, "Well, I want to be a missionary." It was on her heart, but God never gave her the green light to do it. Then she got married, she had kids, and she asked God, "What about the plan for missions?" "Not now." Her kids grew up, start their own families. It's just her and her husband. "What about now? What about me and my husband?" "Not now." Her husband died, and she said, "What now?" He said, "Now." She goes, "But I've been a housemaker, a homemaker all my life. I don't know anything really to offer." He says, "You offer your sewing skills to women that need to learn to make a better life for themselves and other countries." And so she did it. The point that I'm trying to make here is that yielding our life to the purpose and will of God and the things he wants to do in and through our lives should not be contingent upon how old we are. You can be in a convalescent home and be used by God. You can keep your faith and you can be strong in that way. And so Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." I share that verse with a lot of young Christians and people that are going through such terrible things to remind them God's purpose is good. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And so in the insert here, it says, our life that God intends for us has been hidden in Christ. We need to seek that life by wholeheartedly following Christ. Okay? So the only way that we're going to discover the life and plan that God has for us is by following him. We've heard that. But what about that old woman that said, "Hey, I'm a widow now." And God said, "Here you go. Your mission was your family. Now your family is outside of you and you can do this other ministry that I'm calling you to." And I believe God does that until we die. And so we're to follow the direction and the plans that God has for us. And we are to discover his plan. And so what I'm doing here is this little walkway into this cave. And in some ways, it's kind of like, you know, don't go on the main road, right? Go on the narrow path, but discover what's behind that path, what God wants to do in and through your life, my life, our lives in Christ. Interestingly, we need the source of all the creativity of our Creator to help us to live our God-given potential, right? Our God-given potential. We sometimes have dreams, obviously, We dream when we're asleep. That's how we relate. Okay, have you dreamt? I've slept. I've had a dream. But all of us, too, have had daydreams, haven't we? Do you dismiss daydreams as being non-valuable? Do you even consider maybe dreams could be valuable? Are you cautious to dreams as you ought to be? Because we need to make sure they are to be kept in line with Scripture. But at the same time, God does, like Joseph, reveal his insights to us through dreams sometimes. And so I know that, for instance, on a downside, oh great, that the night before my mother died, God told me in a daydream, so to speak, driving back from Sacramento, driving the car, kind of got this daydream, and she died the next day. But I also know that I had prayed for years about, I had my list of what I wanted in a wife. And my friends are getting married at 20, 21, 22, and now I'm 27, 28. Lord, I've still got my list. Don't worry, I've got the woman for you. But I had to wait. But I knew that God told me that. And so that understanding was absolutely secure. We might have times when we're thinking in daytime events or even dreaming, who knows, of different things that God might be putting. Ever think about things that seem grandiose to you? That seem like, wow, that's way out there? Or seem like that's really out of character? I don't know if you've done that before. I know I have. But we may be thinking about, dreaming about helping the homeless people. Okay, that we've seen in different circumstances where your heart is drawn. Okay, you need to step out and help the homeless. Maybe we've dreamed of reaching the youth in our town. I know that there are people in our church that just have a great desire to bring the youth into our church. Maybe you have a dream about helping students to be to do their homework better and to be better accomplishing in school. Maybe we dream about traveling overseas to do a mission trip or minister to third world people, okay, to witness about Jesus. So the idea here is that we may have this tug, this draw, this dream, this daydream, that something stirs us up to pull us in that direction. That might be God. And instead of dismissing it as a daydream or a night dream, take it to God and pray about it and seek, God, is this what you really want? Because sometimes it is what God wants, and we never follow through on those moments of inspiration that God gives us. And therefore, we don't recognize those urges. We begin to suppress that. Okay? And then we miss those divine directions of God working in our life. I don't know about you, I don't want to miss the divine directives of God working in my life. I'm not just talking about the conviction. I'm not just talking about the hard transforming aspects of God's hand in my life. I'm talking about, okay, this direction, like the old woman, you're going to go on a mission field and you're going to do this. The excitement of this way or that way, or even just within our own country and our own circumstances as well. But we limit ourselves. So the success that's involved here and following the dream that God puts on our heart, and that's an idea here, isn't it? That God puts a dream on our heart that's in line with Scripture, that we seek Him to confirm in our life, right? But what happens? We start dismissing it with logic. Our life circumstances, our low self-esteem, our skills and abilities, our time, our resources, our money, all start to come in to knock down sometimes what God wants to do. Joseph could have said that that's a silly dream and dismissed it and never even mentioned it. But God was telling it. And I believe that he knew right then and there that it was God that was telling him to do this. And he would have missed out on the all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving Creator, God telling him exactly what he was to do and providing for it. God never calls us to do anything that he will not provide us with what we need to do it. Right? God will stretch us beyond our capabilities if we're willing to follow that. And then as we do, we rely on the power of God. God calls, God provides, our faith sustains through it. We see God work and he's glorified. That's awesome. That's awesome. And so we need to remember that because Joseph kept that faith. Another fill in here. says you would have unlimited potential following God's instructions, remaining faithful and relying on and using His resources. Unlimited power in God. When we're following God, in step with God, in His will, the unlimited power of God is sustaining us, carrying us, and fulfilling and doing what He wants to do in and through our lives. We need to remember that the greatness of our life is not determined by world judgment. Our greatness and our successes are based on God's values that sometimes the world does not see. God is not going to invest Himself in a dream fueled by greed, arrogance, self-indulgence, and self-centeredness. Joseph learned to be humble before God. That's a hard lesson to learn. Jesus spent a lot of time trying to convince the Pharisees and Sadducees that it was about grace rather than the law. Jesus wanted people to care about God's kingdom. Jesus wanted to teach them how they could change what they cared about, what the priorities were in their life. And so what we look at and how what draws our heart, what tugs our heart, what grabs our attention, we need to not dismiss that, but look at that and say, God, are you talking to me about these things? Because God wants to use each of us in His kingdom work. But we must be focused as God draws us to those things that seem that's really out there, yet confirmed by Him when we ask sometimes. In Matthew 6:21-33, it says, Jesus told us Himself, For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We do not seek God and His righteousness first unless God is our treasure. Just don't do it. So when we make God our treasure, our relationship with Jesus is the most treasured value that we have in life. Then as we follow Him, we discover, again, the dreams, the purposes, and the plans that God has for us. So no matter what the trials we face or what blessings, okay, or what blessings that we have, we can rely on God to carry them out. And so we just need to hold on, obviously, to the Lord and trust Him, because He's doing a work in our life that will glorify Him. And we're to trust Him with that. Absolutely, without question, trust the Lord. So I'm just going to kind of draw a little bit on this here, a little here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. That purple right here. God begins to add and add to our life what He wants to accomplish. And it's things that we don't expect, things that are beyond our control, things that that reveal His power, things that we will find absolutely thrilling as we discover Him. And so the question is, are we willing to follow what God wants to do in and through our lives? Listen to this quote. When God is at the force of our lives, He becomes the inspirer of our dreams. If we want to live the wide awake life of our dreams, we must trust God to guide us on a journey we cannot take on our own. Erwin McManus. The process to fulfill these dreams in Joseph's life took not days or months or even years, but decades. Sometimes the life God dreams for us takes a lifetime to come to pass. Great lives that are born out of great dreams often come through great sacrifice and great suffering. Our dreams, the ones God places inside of us, are a foretaste of our destiny, Erwin McManus. And so it's important that we remain faithful to God through what the good times and the bad times. We can have a lot of good times and forsake God, can't we? because we become secure in ourselves. And we can have bad times in our life to say, I don't want you because you made me mad. And so we have to learn to be faithful through the good and the bad and keep that balance in place, never becoming unfaithful. In Genesis 39, 1 through 5, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made her overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and the field. What a blessing for Joseph. It's almost like the old movie, what's that old, the king that touched everything turned to gold. Yeah. So it's almost like he's watching and says, you know, God is blessing and using me so much that the blessings are all over the place because of how he's worked in my life, how he's placed me in the work that he wants me to do. And his faithfulness, his goodness, his integrity was respected, and God blessed him for that. So, Joseph, of course, was serving as Potiphar's wife, and he stayed where God wanted him to be. I tell you what, sometimes staying where God wants us to be is not an easy place to be. Sometimes you just want to go. Sometimes you just want to take the reins. Sometimes you want to paint your own picture. But oftentimes God will say, no. You got to stay in the pot a little bit longer. Got to boil a little hotter. Got to get more impurities out. You got to trust me to shape you, to make you what I want you to be, which requires you staying put. And I know in my life there have been plenty of times, jobs or whatever, that I look back in my immaturity in years past, working secular jobs, where I said, forget it, I walk out. Figure, here's my notice. 2-week notice, whatever. And I look back and say, I could have handled that better. But I had to learn. We too must remember to work to please God no matter where he has put us in life. Okay? Our life is not ours, but his. Is that our focus? Wherever we are in life, I want to please God. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. As a custodian, scrubbing toilets, scrubbing urinals, taking care of walls, whatever the case, do it unto the Lord, because that made the job much easier. So, a good servant with a good attitude who trusts God is blessed by God. So, wherever you're at, whatever job you have, whatever circumstance you are in, be that servant that trusts God with a good attitude, and then you'll see God's additional blessings on you. Start seeking God and asking him to reveal his plans and dreams to your life. I find that fascinating. Pay attention to how God might be speaking to you through daydreams or dreams at night, but always make sure they're in line with Scripture, confirmed by God. Ask God to reevaluate and reestablish that over and over. Be a part of the better godly world God is trying to create through you. The idea is that our life that we build for ourselves will not compare to the life that God wants to do with us. That's what he did with Joseph. Your life is here. I've got a plan here. It's your faithfulness that's going to get you there by my power. And so we have to, again, trust the Lord. And so, finally, to create a different world is both a courageous act and a creative act. Life is a work of art. The canvas you paint first is your life. Then your life becomes the brush from which you paint that part of the world you touch while you're on this planet. You are an artist. What work of art will you leave behind? Unquote, Erwin McManus. I want to live my life that when the end of my life happens, that people remember the power of God, the presence of God, doing things beyond any capability that I have. but that God reveals his capability through my life. And I pray that for each one of us, that we have that heart. It says, God, I want you to do the great, beautiful things, the successful things in my life that you want, not what I want, that you might be glorified. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I want to thank you, Father, for your blessings in each of our lives. I want to thank you, Father, for the fact that there are countless loving, positive thoughts that you have toward each one of us, that you think about each one of us more than the grains of the seashore. That's what your word says. That you think of us, that you relish, not relish, but that you are blessed by us, that we are a joy to you, and that you already have, before the foundations of the world, a plan that is far beyond our comprehension for each of our lives, and we can embrace that plan no matter what stage we are in life, that God will use us. We must believe that God can do his marvelous power in and through our lives as we yield to him, and we do. So, Father, I pray that you help each one of us to say, Lord, take away the anxiety and fear. Don't let that stand in my way of following you. And help me to be the person that you have planned for me, that my life will be a painting, a reflection of your power and your glory in my life, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.